Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. And so we're grateful tonight to know that our God is the only true living God that there is. And tonight we can rejoice in that, be settled and satisfied, content that we're not looking for God. We know who He is. And we're excited about that. And so we're glad tonight that we can continue about our missions for the month of May. And so tonight we'll have Brother Robert. Then next week, Brother Kevin will be here next Sunday. And he'll be preaching and teaching on local missions and witnessing and thinking of those truths that I believe we need to be also focused on in the way of missions. I have seen in the past that churches and us even, we focus so heavily on foreign missions and so push so much on the global mindset that we kind of just forget or kind of excuse ourselves on the local. And so tonight we want to make sure that we become balanced and that we're meeting the foreign, but we're also reaching the local. And so that we want to do both. Amen. And so we don't want to do either bad, and we don't want to do in the way that we kind of neglect both tonight. But at the same time, we don't want to be heavy on the very foreign, and then on the local, we sort of just take it easy. And so God help us tonight. It's a challenge to make balance, especially in the days of this COVID. And I don't want to make excuse in that. It seems like they can have the Astros games, and it seems like the Rockets will go forth, and it seems like they have other events and other entertainments, and so it don't look like to me that going and to knocking on somebody's door or going out amongst the public and to pass out a tract or to tell someone about Jesus would be of a fear any longer of this COVID or any of that tonight. And yet at the same time, when Brother Keith got this COVID, it kind of came close to me. You know, he's a friend of mine. He's a church member, has been for a long time. And so it's kind of close to home. You kind of, again, rethink, refocus, and say that, you know, we understand that COVID is real. We know that COVID has taken lives. We know that COVID is about 99.6% or 4% recovery rate. And so it's not like every time someone gets COVID, they pass or they die. That's not the case. The majority of people live. At the same time, we know some that have died as well in other churches at the Parkway Baptist Church. And so we know it's real, and I think we need to respect that. But at the same time, it can't control our lives. It can't bring us to the place of stop, or it can't bring us to the place of where we're not going to do as the Lord have us to do. And so fear can't be a tactic that will stop the church tonight. And so with that being said tonight, maybe we can have some encouragement even through the rest of this month on the way of missions. Amen. So, Brother Robert, you're the one that God has chosen to be here tonight from my heart. And so we pray that you come and bring us the message of the Lord, okay?
Thank you. Yes, sir, my brother. Amen. All right. I'm excited to be with you tonight. And be turning in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to be heading. And in our message and try to give you a sort of update and then get into the Word of God. The strategy for delivering the captives, where we're going. Strategies for delivering the captive. And you may be one of the captives and or our loved ones. And so it's just not behind those behind jail and prison bars. I thank you for pastor and church for being a faithful supporter of our ministry. And it's going out online because my name is Bottom. Chaplain Robert Bottom with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Been a missionary chaplain for about 23 years in the Harris and Fort Bend County jails. Also had worked for a time in the Texas prison system. And I thank God that I'm back in the jails for several months. We were out because of the COVID. They wouldn't let us in. But God's kept working there even while we were gone. The word, as we see in the text, the Word of God is not bound. And it continued to work in that. But I thank the church for your faithful having a vision. Remember them, Hebrews 13:3, remember them which are in bonds is bound with them that suffer adversity as yourself also in the body. And we don't forget those that are behind jail and prison bars. And if you get a chance, I'm not supporting all of the doctrines of Voice of Martyrs. They might have a lot of different things, but it's good information to remember those that are around the world that are incarcerated, that are suffering for the name of Christ. And we think we got it bad. We've seen nothing. And so we just need to be in prayer. And thank you for your prayers for us. God opened the door to go back into Harris County Jail, and it was a privilege in that it's not open. Others, volunteers, are still not being admitted back in. They're letting a few, but then they had a guy who wanted to help me, and they wouldn't let him back in yet. So they're restricting it, and we've got everybody in there crying, help, help, help. We want Bibles. We want material. We want counsel. We want preaching it. And you can't hardly sell the gospel on the street corner with a $5 bill. But they're begging behind jail and prison bars, and they're hurting from all that's been going on. So pray. My burden is the next generation that others might hear. And I'm 67, be 68 this year. And the reality is Jesus is coming, and we're going ATWH. That means all the way. When they're going out of jail, that's ATW. All the way, but I'm saying we're going ATWH, so we may not need any preachers. But until then, I'm praying the Lord of the harvest send for some laborers to the harvest. Indeed, that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need them in church houses. We need them in the jailhouse. And pray for Tri-County. We've got a new assistant pastor that possibly work into a pastorate position and maybe help relieve Pastor Schrader. And Brother Dustin Taylor and his family has moved from Illinois, and today was their first Sunday. We praise God for that. Pray for Cornerstone. They're voting on a man, whether or not he would possibly be a pastor there. So pray for these churches, that they have pastors and laborers for the harvest. But thank you for praying for the jails as we're back in there. Just sort of give you news and views. Fort Bend County has not opened up yet. The politics is still, they're all spooked out and still not letting us back in. Even the paid staff chaplains are not able to go in and work the pods properly. And so they're being very restricted. So pray for Fort Bend County that it would open up to be able to get the gospel out more effectively. And then do pray in relation to Harris County. Let's go to the prisons. Pray for the prisons. We need evangelists for the prisons. Brother Dennis Terry and Paul Henry is still working the prisons. And Paul Henry is just about down, but he's not out, and he keeps trying. Brother Dennis Terry is old and down his back, and we don't have a lot of new blood, and we're going to have prison revivals, things opening up. We need people to be able to work that. And then, of course, I'm back in Harris County. Pray for Harris County. I've never seen it as bad as it is right now. As I went back in, the smoke was so bad in a smoke-free environment that it about made me sick on some floors. They're smoking K2. It's that synthetic marijuana. And the morale is so low in relation to security. It's very difficult. It's almost like strap the officers and now you do your job. You know, you don't touch little Billy. Don't you? Okay, or we'll take away your all retirement and everything. And so, it's very difficult. As a result, we're having difficulty doing our services. They're giving limited services, and as I try to pull this, it's just a circus. And we're only pulling one cell. The cell there has four. A pod has four cells. About 100 men. Previously, we pulled two or three of these at a time to chapel and have service. Now, only one because we don't want to get them mixed up and spread of COVID or whatever. But turns out they have keep separates maybe in the same pod. And at Monday, before I could get them all into a vestibule area to walk them to the chapel, fight broke out. It was the biggest mess you ever seen. And I had to put them right back in the cell. And fortunately, they were secured there. But it's just heathen. It's just a rank heathen. And it's not fair fights most of the time. It's very out of control, full gang type of stuff. What we used to see in prison was there. The jails was neutral zone. They don't click into their gangs or no gang hits or anything enforcement until they get to prison. But it's not that way now. We got a whole new group that has no conscience of even the jailhouse rules. And so it's just a free-for-all. And so it's very dangerous for those that are incarcerated and remember those in bonds. So as a result, there's some people that are serious and seeking God, but we just need your prayers. And the opposition is just unbelievable. But praise God, souls are being saved, lives are changed, and I'm just amazed at what God's doing here. Well, let's get on into our word today and then give you a little more information there later. Looking in 2 Timothy, we're thinking of God's plan for delivering the captives. I want to look at this chapter. I think that it's all, let's stand together. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter in your standing, but we may work it. But let's pick up in verse 23 through 26 and then have prayer, and then we'll tear into it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 through 26. But foolish and unlearned question avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word tonight, that, Father, we might see the fields whitened to harvest. And, Father, we cannot reach them except by the Spirit of God. And, Father, may we learn and may be the soldiers that you would have us to be, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in these end times. We pray for laborers for the harvest. We pray for each family that, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, that, Father, we might be lights in dark places. Be Brother Keith, his family, in this time. We look to you for healing and be with the church, Lord. We thank you for the vision for souls and thank you for their vision for the community. May your Spirit be upon them. Send revival, Lord, in a special way to each heart. And may you be glorified. And Father, those that are groaning and hurting, that are waiting for the gospel, may they find the deliverance and the freedom through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, set the captives free. Free them on the inside, and those that are incarcerated, of course, free them on the outside in your time that they might serve Christ. But Father, we love you, and there's much bondage in our soul. We need liberty tonight. Bless these men and bless these ladies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're thinking about the deliverance that God gives, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul is writing to Timothy, and it's in 2 Timothy, and he's writing his swan song, giving his final instructions. But he's saying, Timothy, you're going to have to be a soldier in the midst of this. And indeed, we need people like old Brother Roloff. He used to stand and say, Brother, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And he lived that life and fighting against the devil. And Billy Sunday said, man, I want to fight the devil till my hands fall off. And then I just keep fighting him, and I'll gum him to death. He just keep fighting it. We must see, indeed, there is a battle. And we want to stand in this battle. But we must see in Scripture, verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he's given us the path of the good soldier in the time of apostasy. Oh, Paul was locked up in prison, and he was sort of lonely, but the Lord was with him there. And sometimes in these end times, you may feel lonely or all alone, but we need to realize that we didn't enlist to pick daisies. We did not enlist to pick daisies, and Christ did not go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. He suffered, he bled and died. And when we, at the sake of Hebrews 12, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Go to Isaiah 53 and consider that in a time when we are discouraged and going through trials, to remember Him. But number one, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. If we're going to see people say it's all about grace, it's importation, not imitation. Importation. J. Oswald Smith said, is to give or grant one from one store of abundance. The Lord Jesus Christ has imparted to us His grace. You see, you can't do it, nor can I. And it's for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of yourself. Notice in verse 1, thou therefore the Son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Indeed, we need to be strong in grace. So many of the isms and schisms, there's only two. There is works or it's by grace. And don't get caught trying to get the cart before the horse. You know the scriptures, grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But don't forget verse 10. For grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Pride is a sin, it would come in. But we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. If there's a root, there should be fruit. And if there's no fruit, check the root. And you may have to pull it up as Jesus did and get rid of it and realize that there we checked our heart to see it's grace. But the thing in grace is Hebrews 4:16 said, come boldly before that throne of grace. What? That we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. We've got salvation, saving grace, but that surviving grace is a daily thing we need from the Lord. And 2 Peter 3:18, familiar passage of Scripture, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to dive deeper into Him. If we're going to find freedom for those that are held captive, you see, some people don't even know they're in held captive. They're being deceived. They're deceived by lifestyles, by sin. It's like boiling the frog. It's just a little at a little time until they're cooked. They're deceived. Our whole society is being deceived by alternate lifestyles, by the philosophies of this world, the Antichrist spirit that's being promoted. It's like bending a limb. It's just a young plant. As you begin to build it, it will continue to go in the same direction that you begin to bend it. And how our society is being bent, being held captive by them. It's amazing what is going on as we work with those behind jail and prison bars. His beautiful brother, the man I asked you to pray for the other day that was held captive in the sodomy, as God, as y'all prayed and God worked, an older man, but how the Spirit of God brought him to a repentance. Amen. And as God revealed the area of his life, the tears began to roll and he came to brokenness and cried out in assurance. And God is working in him a special work of grace. What can wash away my sin? Well, I'll be good. I'll just never go to sin. Well, we've all sinned. It takes God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we've got to get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. But as we go, it's given to us by God. And this is freely given to us, God, so we need to share it with others. I like verse 2. In order to reach people and find people delivers, we don't have much time. It's multiplication, not just addition. If we're going to reach the world, we've got to multiply. And that's why I'm thankful that you're sending out missionaries. You're not just working here, but we're all around the world. It's beyond what we can do. Notice verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. we're going to have to multiply ourselves, finding those that God, where God is working. See, Pastor, you only have so much time, and I have, and all of us, so much time. But we want to show favor to all mankind. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But the fact is, not everybody is ready. And that by the Spirit of God, we must be discerning in these end times. As Brother Ernie went to Korea and in restricted areas, he would have to be discerning, because if he gave the tract to the wrong person, he'd end up in jail, prison. And so you have to be discerning in these days of how much time to invest in someone. If the Spirit is working there, that, and in jail, I've got everybody, chaplain. It drives you crazy. But I got to figure out, Lord, where are you working? And find that man. And it's exciting as I find the pods where God has a man. And that man, then God is working there, and he's faithful man, and begins to help him. And that man begins to help others. I put in my prayer letter about, I think the man's name is Johnson, and how a year ago I worked with him, and how the Spirit of God just cleaned him up in a beautiful way as we worked together. It came to true repentance and dealing with things. And I came back a year later, and he's just on fire for God, holding Bible studies in his pod and prayer circles, and faithful, and winning, helping others come to freedom in Christ. If we're going to help people come to freedom, we need more helpers in that relation, finding those men. And it's so exciting to see. Indeed, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through, we'll get over there and I'll see. Titus chapter 2, speaking, maybe even through 10, but speak thou, Titus 2, 1 through 10, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, and the aged women likewise, that they behave their behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, goes on, sound speech. Here we are at Mother's Day, and indeed I thank God for mothers that have been mentors for other ladies and have a compassion. But the biggest mentor is for their children. And I thank God, and I've got an opportunity. I just want to praise my mother and my grandmother. I remember the time that at 16 years old and come home from church, and I was in on the couch resting while they were preparing a meal. And I heard my granny saying, Nellie, I'm concerned about Robert and John. Here they're getting older, and they're not saved yet. And I'm concerned about them. We need to pray. Pray they get saved before they get. And it's just like a knife in the Holy Ghost put in my heart. I'm not saved. And indeed, that year I got saved. And I thank God for that. You have a vision. Prayer is a powerful tool. Pray. Ask God. Hey, you can't, maybe not, you've got your responsibilities, you've got so many hours at school teaching, or at your job working, or school studying, and responsibilities. Yes, we do, and we want to give a proper labor for the dollar, but what we can do, let's pray. God, give us some soul. Lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me. May I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee. And indeed, Lord, give me a man, give me a woman, and not only just, you know, get a notch in her belt, in her gun belt, but know that we begin to work with that person, begin to help them to come. We're in a different age. We need people that is willing to put some sweat in with people, because people are coming out of the slime pit. They're being held by captive by the devil, and they may make a profession, and they may actually get saved, profess Christ, but they have so many strongholds. You have an advantage. I had an advantage. I had a loving grandmother and grandfather, and loved God, mother and father, knew God, grew up in a Christian home, got to go, you know, out there on the farm. And they're sin, but it was not the sin that most people around here have to deal with. But it was beautiful. But what people are coming up with now, they're broken from the ground up. From the ground up, the evil and wickedness of man's heart is evil continue as in the days of Noah. It's here.
Yes,
I deal with it every day. And I weep, and as I deal with these men, I have to carry a whole slew of paper towels. The weeping, once they get them alone, their heart is broken because of sin, and they're being held captive by the devil. But I thank God, through grace of God. But indeed, the need to impart to others, to find those. Ask God for someone you can work with this year. This year, the year's, you know, burning right along. But Lord, give us one family, one person that we can, and then call that person, work with them, invest in them, maybe every week. Arrange time so you can do Bible studies and work with it. And that's what I'm working in the jails. As I find these guys, then I work with them, and they find men, and then we work with them, and their group begins to grow. And I've got these stations here throughout the jail. And it's exciting to see, as I, one guy, he was one of those that busted up from the ground up, and gangbanger from Dallas, and big burly Spanish guy tattooed all over. But he'd come to Christ, but he was carrying such burdens. As we worked with him, and Holy Ghost set him free. This old boy, the worst day, he was too pushy. I mean, he was the kind of guy you don't like Jesus. Bam, bam. You know, that's chilling a bit. In meekness, instructing those, but it's exciting. I run into him in the hall, and he had another man with him, tattooed all up. This guy had already done 12 years. He was older for a man in jail. He said, "I got me one here. Hey, you make an appointment. Put him on the list. Put him on the list. We got to get him before he gets out of here. We're going to get him." And I put him on the list, called him out, and because of that man's testimony, that man was ready. Before he had been angry and so mad, and he had spent so much time in lockdown, and he fed, the devil fed it with anger. Be angry and sin not, need to give place to the devil. And boy, but that old gangbanger broke him down. He saw something, the light of Christ, and there Friday, or Thursday it was, he got saved. And the Holy Ghost just got him, showed up. I said, "Woo!" You know, it's fun to show up where God's showing up. But if he's not there, I'm out of here. You know, when they start beating each other up and the blood's flying, I say, "Oh, Lord, what am I into?" But that's why we've got to get out of the box, begin to have the vision. We see as a Christian, it's about mate. It's multiplication, not just addition. It's about grace. It's a warfare. It is a warfare. Notice, thou therefore endure, says verse 3, chapter. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Notice chapter 4, verse 5. But that which thou in all, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of their ministry. You see, ministry is work. It's not all about just eating chicken on Sunday and drawing a paycheck. We need some people that are willing to put some sweat equity in the gospel, to endure. Hey, not just fat in the pan quickly and just burns up. We need pray for missionaries to go and stay until God takes them out of here. We need pastors. We need evangelists. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So a soldier has to endure, have that consistency of staying with it. And then verse 4, that we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused in verse 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We need to stay focused. It's easy. Well, I like this. I like that. Maybe this. We need to get a focus. We need to ask God. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which I will guide thee with mine eyes. Get the will of God and do it. You can't be a school teacher unless you get a vision for that. And you got to get some education. You can't be a mechanic unless you learn the trade. You cannot be a minister and serving God without a vision. We cannot be a servant of Christ without staying consistent, staying focused, staying focused. That's why it's so blessed to have church attendance. Just if you feel God's working in your life, I think God's calling me to Zimbabwe or over here, but you can't make it to Sunday school. Some focus is off somewhere. You know? And I know Brother George may be teaching, but that's all right. That's all right. You should have the Holy Ghost enough you can get a blessing there. Amen. Brother George, I never heard you teach. I'm thank God for this brother who's been willing to serve the Lord. Stay focused. And notice, it says, and this, if any man also strive, so I'm back to 4. No man that warreth entangled the affairs of this life, that he may please him that's chosen him to be a soldier. Him that chosen him. You see, God's got the work for you. Ladies, God has chosen you to be a mother, a wife. You say, well, I don't know if I was chosen or not. Now I'm looking back at it. I don't know if I think I missed the will of God. No, you made the will of God. You're right in the middle of it. And now the Holy Ghost is going to bless you. He's chosen. Notice chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17 said, notwithstanding, Paul's writing, he's gone through some hard times. Verse 16, at the first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that he may not lay it to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. We see Paul, he was chosen to be a minister to the Gentiles. And where God guides, God provides. But indeed, we must stay focused. We must stay focused. And we must strive for the prize. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for the mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. We see the illustration as a soldier, but also an athlete. An athlete. Indeed, this is not lazy stuff. This takes discipline. It takes working at it. Indeed, to prepare, practice, practice, practice. Strive for the mastery. Strive lawfully. Oh, but also as a farmer, if you're going to get a crop, my granddad says, you got to plow it and hoe it. Plow it and hoe it. Plow it and hoe it. If it's not doing right, just plow it and hoe it. You got to work. The husbandman, verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. If you're going to get a crop, you're going to have to plant it. You're going to have to work it. Labor for the harvest. We need to be laboring this in the ministry, working at it. And then notice in verse 7 that he said, the Lord, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He's making analogies, applications. Apply it to your life. Are we soldiers? Are we striving? How's our focus? Are we laboring? Are we expecting fruit? Are we praying, expecting God to give us fruit? Oh, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee. Notice verse 8 through 13 says, it's about dying to self and following Christ. It's not about you. Dying to self. If you can become a missionary now, you've got better have some good wind in your sails to be an independent Baptist missionary right now. With COVID and everything else, you must know God is calling you, because you're going to have to die to self. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The flash in the pan won't cut it. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to bring you through, and you've got to have the good hand of the Lord. There's, and it takes finances to for a family to get to the field, but God has to provide it. If you're some of the I know I'm not the talented at all the bells and whistles, but many with that talent, they burn out because they expect it just because they've used their talent, their abilities, and they've got place. But when you come to a dead end, are they looking up or are they looking to self? We've got to come. It's about dying to self. If you're going to see people come to freedom, we're going to have to die to ourselves. It's about Christ. It's not about you. There is a sacrifice. You know, treasures is laid up. You know, the pay is out of this world. Oh, hallelujah. It's out of this world. Being a missionary, it pays out of this world. But you may have to wait till you get there to get it. But consider what I say. Remember, think of Christ. Remember, the suffering does not stop the word of God. Remember, it's Christ. His example, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, evil unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Remember, suffering does not stop the word of God. Suffering does not stop the word of God. I'm glad it's just not all about you and it's not all about me. As we go through these sufferings and trials, may it purify us that we've come to the place of dying to self. What the devil means for evil, God can work for good. You see, the only reason I'm in the jail ministry is because of my failures, because of my health problems and depression, to the place that I wanted to die and commit suicide. And I felt called to preach, and I was going to be this and that. And I just fell flat on my face. Flunked out of seminary. My health, everything, suicide dropped up on my shoulders. Man, I wanted to die. But when I did, God still had his call. And somebody invited me to county jail. And there I could identify with broken humanity. And then I begin to see people get saved. I said, and now I don't want to do anything else. Now I'm just like a coon dog. Every time he comes past a patch of woods, I come past a prison. I was about to chew the bark off the tree until I could get back in there. Man, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Oh, indeed, the word of God is not bound. I'm thankful for that. But remember also that where it's about dying to self, that others are still waiting. Others are still waiting. We need to die to self. Notice, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We got to keep going. There's others that are still waiting. Even what the trials you're facing may be used, even as Brother Keith is going to expose him to other people that he wouldn't normally be around, that they might hear the gospel. Yes, the enemy may meet all this for evil, but God will use it for those that he's calling through the gospel. They pass out tracts and all. And the trials you're going through. Remember, though, that sacrifice and suffering has its rewards. It's a faithful saying, verse 11 and 12. It's a faithful saying that for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Luke, if I can find that verse 12, I think it is chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Indeed, we need to hang in there. And sacrifice and suffering has reward. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, but then we see, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Indeed, God is faithful. God is faithful. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. We come, the fifth point is, and then I'll break it down, but it's all about being a student. I'm going to jump to verse 15. I'll come back to 14. It's all about being a student. It's about grace. It's about multiplication, not addition. It's about being a warfare. It's about dying to self. It's about being a student. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study. That's why I thank God for Sunday school and church and preaching and then opportunities to study the word of God. Why do we need to study the Word of God? In context, we see it here. It's to avoid false teachers. We're in the end times, the time of apostasy and compromise. Verse 14 and verse 16 and 17. See, of those things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of hearers. You see, in the prisons, we have to be careful for those that are in Islam and other sects. And their whole goal is to waste your time and to get you involved in some argument. And if you're full of pride, man, I'll just show this man. I can whip the scriptures on him. You ever try to convince a demon the truth? They can play you like a drum. I've seen guys that can quote scriptures back and forth and they're being empowered by the powers of darkness and come up with all the wrong conclusions. I mean, they quote scriptures like an evangelist, but all the wrong conclusions. They'll waste your time. They've given over to this lying spirits, and you just got to roll on. Striving about words to no profit. Be careful. Those that are in false doctrine, throw them a line. If they grab it, bring them in the boat. Otherwise, roll on. Keep fishing. Don't let it discourage you. We need to study. We need to understand what's going on, where they're coming from, to the subverting of the hearers. They're trying to deceive. You think you're trying to evangelize it. They're trying to evangelize you. And if you listen to them enough, they may work on your faith from your stability in Christ and the Word of God and the Gospel. That's why you need to study. That's why I thank God. God's given pastors and teachers, because there's a lot I don't know. And as they spend that time in study, it can help us not to get caught up in these traps. I've seen those that went to studying Jehovah's Witness doctrine and almost got snared in it. It's very slick. It's very deceiving. So be careful with these doctrines. Don't get defiled. Why? There is a spirit behind it. And it's just like you wouldn't go with the occult and into all that. You know that stuff is evil. So in the same way, cults has power with it. Also, notice verse 6. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. You see, doctrine affects morals. Doctrine affects morals. As a school I grew up in, or that I went to college in a Christian university, but secular Christian university. And indeed, they had neo-orthodoxy was their doctrine. The Bible was not the Word of God. It contained the Word of God. And if it spoke to you, it was Word. Otherwise, it might not be. And so it's pick and choose. And Bonhoeffer, Brunner, Bonnet, Tillich, and some of them was the philosophy behind it, theologians, a lot of words and a lot of babble, but it promoted just deadness. And as a result, the old sin nature takes over, seeing men coming in for evangelism, going out in immorality and failure. Oh, here we see, but shun those things, profane, vain, babble. Verse, and the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Indeed, be careful of false doctrine. That's why the pastor is to oversee the flock. And when he starts seeing this, he can communicate and help and warn. Indeed, he's not just trying to be in pride. He's trying to protect the flock. Indeed, we need this in these end times. It's about avoiding false teacher. The the error of the wicked, how indeed it grows and grows. It, even we think of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'll just hit this real quick, but it's very evident. 1 Timothy 6, or verse 5, we seeing this all over. Perverse disputing of men, corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. You can't, like Reverend Ike, you can't lose with the stuff we use, money. You know, no, oh man, watch out. If you're right with God, you'll have all these riches and wealth. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And they fall. When you follow that, you fall into temptation, snares. See, false doctrine, discouragement. If you don't, you think, well, something wrong with me. But for the love of money is the root of evil. Indeed, we need it, but we don't worship it. Verse 11, but thou, what to be strong, to help others, what do you need to do? Man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereof thou also art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Indeed, it is a struggle, so we need to study to avoid false teachers. What else? As we go back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, picking up verse 19, indeed, to stay pure, but to also to avoid false teachers, but to stay pure. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Indeed, we need to stay pure, to be a student, to stay pure. Iniquity is uneven, gross injustice. Be careful. We must be careful because you get defiled. Defilement. If we're going to help others, we're going to have solid on our foundation of doctrine, and then solid to avoid all the snares. We've got to stay pure. Indeed, in these end times, the amount of pastors that are viewing pornography is phenomenal. That are given over to immoral lifestyles and thinking. It's crazy. And so the enemy is coming in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord wants to raise up a standard, but we must be mindful of that. Indeed, know that let everyone nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we're going to deliver someone and help someone, we must have freedom ourselves to look them in. Yeah, these guys in the jail, they know a phony. They know a con. They'll look you right in the eye, and they're looking right to your soul. And if there's any ounce of dishonesty or something, they're going to smell a rat. Because they're constantly, every day, that's how they survive. When somebody's trying to work their something or work a deal in there to try to deceive, they're always just like sixth sense. They're just always watching. And they can smell it. They can sense it. So we need to be pure, right, and be honest. It's not saying I'm just going to cover it. Just be honest. It's by grace we're saved. The blood of Jesus. And we must find help through the Lord. That's why God has given us the church to help one another. We need to stay pure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And if you are his, we need to let the grace of God cleanse us and renew us. Depart from iniquity. We think of the scripture. Such were some of you. We're washed. We're sanctified. We're justified. We don't see men saved in jail just continue their criminal activity and their wicked works. You wouldn't believe the things these men in jail are seriously dealing with in relation to moral areas of repenting of. That would make some people in the church house that in modern churches they are indulging in. But these men, they get serious, and they get the fasting, they get to praying, and they want to walk in purity, that they could have the power of God. Why should we do that? Walk in purity? Because for the rewards. Notice verse 20. But in the great house, there's not only vessels to gold and silver, but to wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, notice that word, purge himself from these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or proper fit for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Why don't we have laborers? Because defilements in the church. Defilements in the church. We've got to come clean. We've got to get honest. Everybody's smiling, but nobody's talking about their sin. Nobody's old-fashioned repenting of my sin and coming right. They're afraid. And as a result, we've got to be to the place, if somebody does come clean on it, we forgive them. We work with them. Such were some of us. We're washed. We're sanctified. We're justified. Take them up. Hey, if people come in here and they're tattooed all up and they're coming from an immoral lifestyle and all kinds of whacked up stuff, do we have the grace to work with them, to point them to Christ and help them to go on to the future, to purge himself? The Bible says we must lay aside these weights and sins. We must deal casting down the strongholds in our life, purge ourselves indeed to stay pure. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And that reward we're going to get, it's a reward. We must have this, instill this in our young people, that we're going to be a one man woman or one woman man, that we're going to have, ask God for the right husband, the right wife, and those that have failed purpose from now on, it's me and Jesus until I say I do, and then we're going to do right until the stars fall, we're going to do right. And those that are coming out of these places of sin and things, we're just not going to go back there. Purging ourselves. Lay aside those weights. Man, these guys, I tell them, some men, if you have that problem, I'd chain myself to a tree every night. If that's going to get you back and put you back in 20 years in prison, you better off chain yourself to a tree and let somebody get you loose in the morning than go back to that H-E-L-L hole there of incarceration. No, purge ourselves. Realize the enemy is just there lurking, wanting to get. We need to purge ourselves to stay pure. But also, now we're getting to the good part. Oh, that we might help others. Verse 24 says, flee also, before we go on, flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. It's not just don't do that and don't do this. No, no. Flee, follow righteousness, redeeming the time. Remember now that created the days of youth. Hey, memorize the books of the Bible. Memorize scripture while your mind is supple and young. Prepare yourself for things. Ladies, learn how to cook. Men, learn how to work, how to do, endure hardness. Learn the roles. Flee these youthful lusts. Don't just spend time in the slime pits on the internet. Hey, get out and learn to do something that you can begin to be productive. And don't expect somebody just to give it to you on a silver platter. Indeed, we want to be used of God. So thank you for the mothers and the fathers that are teaching this. But flee, flee, flee. Joseph said, Pete, don't fail me now. I'm out of here. They tried to put a false rape case on him. And he lost his coat, but he did not lose his character. Flee, flee these things. We want to, if God's going to use us, we've got to come to stay pure. Why? To help others. The servant of the Lord must strive. Help others, number one. And we must have spirit-controlled character. You must have spirit-controlled character. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle on all men, apt to teach, and patient. We have power, must have power under control. Notice, in meekness. That's not weakness. Power under control. Not striving and yelling. Be careful of some of these cults that are even Baptist cults that are mean-spirited. You can't win souls. I don't care. I'm going to get the truth. Send the word to hell. You see Jesus doing that? Now, I'm not saying compromise the truth. Stand for the truth. Preach the truth. But with a broken heart and love for sinners. And you get down the deep in the dirt to pull them out in a heartbeat. Not protesting and carrying on at military funerals and mean-spirited. If somebody has a different Bible, and they're just ignorant. They come into church, hey, you don't have it. Or they don't have the right clothes. Well, man. Hey, I'm for the right Bible. I'm right for the right code, but I'm for the heart, the soul. And this pastor is too. What does it profit? You gain the whole world, lose your own soul. What does it profit if you win the argument and lose the soul? And they're embittered. No, it's a different day. We don't have people that Christianized as we grew up. They don't have the background. They don't know. They just don't know. I witnessed some men in jail, and I said, you know, are you a sinner? No, I'm not a sinner. And I start giving the Ten Commandments, and the guy said, you mean if I have a baby out of wedlock, that's adultery, that's fornication. Oh, I'm not saved. I thought this guy dumber than a box of rocks. But indeed, he just didn't know. It because the culture, they've grown up in it. Mama, daddy never got married. They're just living in a hog pen of sin, and they don't really realize.
That's right.
And so we must serve the Lord, must not strive. And we've got to get a grip. And if the enemy's in there, he got a stronghold in our life, it'll come out. And then don't get mad at them. We need to go before the throne that God, where's this coming from? Why am I like this? Why am I so angry? Why is this attitude's coming out? Sometimes it's deep, but the Lord will show you. His Holy Spirit's a powerful tool. He'll teach you, instruct you the way. In instructing those that oppose themselves, you've got spirit-controlled character, but you must have spirit-controlled communion. Communion. Instructing those opposed, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Indeed, we must have spirit-controlled communion. All keys don't open every door. And there's just not one set of verses that will unlock every person. And you look for the crack in the soul, the broken place, and it's exciting. The Holy Ghost knows where it is. As the other day, I was dealing with this man had given over to sodomy and stuff. And as I was working with him, the Holy Ghost pointed out that bitterness, that hurt, that pain. Yeah, I could have worked on that stuff on the top, but he had just been fighting. But you go for the heart where the Holy Ghost is working, and they break. You know, I dealt with a guy, a teenager, satanic ritual abuse murder. And as I approached him, God worked it out. I prayed that God, some others were praying. I was able to get through clearance and get right to him. And he was sound enough mind at that time. And instead of going about the murder and stuff or the Satanism and dedicating to Satan, I said, does anybody hurt you? Has anybody hurt you? And the Holy Ghost just drove it in. Yes, my dad left me and my mom, and I sold my soul to the devil. And he just broke. And then was able to get to that. He released his father, and then he cried out, got saved. You see, the core person must repent. It's not intellectual assent. If they don't feel conviction of the Holy Ghost, they're not going to get saved. But once they feel that, you have their attention. The Holy Ghost gives them attention, and it's easy to get them in the boat then. But you got to find out what it is that's down there. Find out what it is, and some are not. Work with the Holy Spirit in relation to reaching these, and that they might be delivered from the snare, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who taken captive by him at his will. Indeed, the enemy is working destruction in their life. They're giving ground to the enemy, and they are just being deceived. It's a lie in their soul. Find the lie that's holding that person. It's like a linchpin. And pull that pin out, and poop, it can come loose. And it's fun. It's like fishing. You say, Lord, where is it? What is it? And you're being led by the Spirit of God. Oh, God wants us to help those that are being held captive. There's a world full of hurting people. And we've got churches that are sitting empty. And we have the answer, the Word of God. May God, through the Holy Spirit of God, lead us and use us to impart that truth to souls, and that we might see the captives set free. May God give us some soul this week that we could be able. And in order to do that, you can't just, it's difficult. I have trouble. I'm like a pit bull in jail, but out in the free world, I'm sort of, you know, some areas you may be stronger in, but work with it. Ask God that I might do more than just share a track, that I might share my heart, that I might listen to somebody. And when you listen, you're listening for where God's working. Pray, God, prepare some soul, and that give me a word. And that word might just break them loose. And they'll say, how did you know? The Spirit might lead you and show you that it's just fun. There's a lot of hurting people. Thank you for your prayers for those behind jail and prison bars. I'm dealing with some very complex individuals that have come through garbage, a lot of garbage. There is a lot of witchcraft and satanic stuff, and deal with some MK Ultras right now. That is very dark, but it's amazing how the Spirit of God wants them free. God's raising up an army, and He's getting them out of the trash heap. And those that come out, they are on fire for God, because they've been in the depth of depravity, and now they're wanting to serve God. They're wanting to share the gospel. And I'm saying, get them, Lord. Because we're right ready for the end time finale. And so a lot of the people in the streets will be destroyed. But God's raising some of their kind out to be the evangelists, to stand up and make up the hedge. So do pray in these times that God would reach these folk and behind jail and prison bars in time, that we might see the revival. Who could tell what God might do? I'm excited to see it. Well, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time to share burden and heart. But thank you, Lord, for the mercy of God that you've shown to us. And that, Father, we do pray you would impart that mercy to those that are still waiting, that we might be prepared, that indeed we might study the Scriptures, that we might do impart that truth to others, that they might have sound doctrine. But, Father, morally pure, if there's some that's struggling in areas, may we come to repentance in those areas, and honesty and accountability. And Father, that we might reach those that are still waiting. Help us to see the fields white into the harvest. Father, yes, indeed, the clouds of darkness and gloom is here. But indeed, Paul was facing the thing. He was going to destruction. He was going to death. But he wanted Timothy to go on. We pray for a next generation of soldiers to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Let's stand here this evening, dear church.
Heard the challenge tonight that Brother Robert has given to us about finding somebody to love, somebody to give the gospel to, somebody to work on, somebody to reach. And I thought about that scripture then that which he was preaching out of tonight. It sounds scary to me, the way that it is written here. And he's read it several times. I want to read it to you one more time. It talks about the very mind, where it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Don't that sound scary? That just about everyone that you speak with, everyone you talk to, are been taken captive at his will. I don't know, it just hit me a while ago. And then he made a challenge to us, our church, and said, ask God to give you somebody. Stop trying to reach the whole world. Stop trying to reach the whole subdivision. Stop trying to reach the whole street. Stop trying to reach the whole cul-de-sac. And God, just give me one. And began to work on that one, began to love that one, began to show that one the grace of God, began to show them that they can be taken out of the captivity that they've been kept in. God, help us tonight. that we all begin with that prayer. God, give me one. Give me one. Maybe you might want to think about it now. Lord, is there somebody already in my life that can be that one? That's in captivity. And I sure can be a help to get them out of that captivity. God, help us tonight. So you sing, Brother George, maybe that might be the mind of the Lord tonight. Is if you don't have nobody on your mind, maybe God will give you somebody. Do you know somebody? Do you know somebody? Won't you just come pray tonight? Say, God, I don't know nobody, but God, give me somebody. Lord, I do know somebody. God, you're laying them on my heart. I just need some help. I need some strength. I need the words to say. I need the boldness. I need the courage. Help me to believe your word. Help me to know, God, that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God have commanded every man everywhere to repent. And I can be part of that. This is part of missions this evening. This is part of reaching the world for Christ, one soul at a time. Get engaged. Become a partaker, participant. God, help me to do what I've been saved to do. Some have come to pray, would you come? God, help us tonight as individuals, as churches, as the kingdom of God, as the flock of the Lord, the body of Christ, the bride, as the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will not get weary and faint. When I get tired and relax, will not take it easy and retire. But God, that you'll refuel us, you'll revive us, refresh us, renew us. God, that we can go stronger, we can go longer. We can see your return and not continue to work and watch. And that I'll be faithful unto the end, faithful unto death. Help us, Lord. Help us tonight. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus this evening. Lord, how you challenge my heart, dear God, to look upon one. God, I pray that you'd bring to my heart that one. And Lord, there's several in my mind tonight, but God, I want that one. I want that one that the Holy Ghost of God has and will begin to work upon his heart as you work on my heart. Lord, I know you desire to save. The Bible says that you're the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And I know the Bible teaches you're the Savior of the world. God, I know that you want to save every soul. You didn't die just for some. You've died for all. Your blood doesn't cleanse just a few. Your blood will cleanse all. And so tonight, Father, we ask you, as your people, as your church, as the body of Christ, tonight that you begin to place in our hearts that one individual, that soul, that one that you've died for, the one, God, that you want to set free and bring to liberty. The one tonight, God, that sin will have a dominion over their lives. God, that one tonight that may be found in grace. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, you put that one upon my heart, upon our hearts. God, that we'll be active and we'll pursue. And Lord, that we'll love and have compassion and we'll be patient. And Lord, that we'll be obedient to you. And Lord, that you may save their soul. God, may heaven tonight rejoice over one sinner that repented because I have followed the Lord, because I have been obedient to you. I took the challenge. And tonight, God, we might see somebody saved this year due to my prayer, my ability to pursue and to love, to show them the grace that God's placed in my heart, the mercy that you've shown, and the remission of sins that you desire. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we become active. And Father, that we may see the fruit of the Lord. Thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for your servant. Thank you for the faithful tonight that's come to the house of God. Father, it's been good to be back here. And so now I pray you will launch us out. God, I pray that you'd move us on. Pray, God, that we would find our place of service. God, that we'd fulfill the ministry that God has given to each one of us. In the most precious and the most glorious name that man could ever mention, the name that's above every name, that name is Jesus, tonight we pray. Amen. Amen.